Hello and welcome to On the Corner, the official podcast of PitchBuzz.com. I'm your host, Eric Smolsky, joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Pollock. Nick, how are you doing on this glorious evening?
What is happening? I'm doing great. I had a lot of meetings right before
you
this.
Tons of meetings.
But they're important. It's about PL11 and really a lot of the direction, not just for 2025, but for 2026 here at the site. If you guys don't know about the pro dashboard and what we're building in the mobile app, you missed the whole post about it in February. We're working on it. We showed off the pro dashboard to some playback members on stream, but to the PL staff, and I've gotten a lot of nice DMs about it. And they're stoked. I'm stoked. We're all stoked. Just got to do meetings, you know?
Got to do it.
Just got to do it. Schedule things all of a sudden pop up. And we just said, you know what? We were going to be recording like 10:30. It was been worse and all this kind of stuff. We said, we're just going to do it tomorrow night. So we do it at 10 o'clock. That's fine.
We wanted to make sure you got our best. You know what I mean? Not our tiredest, our best. So here we are.
So, and Eric, of course, how you been? What have you been up to?
Good. Nothing. Just the typical running after a toddler all the time.
What? No way.
Yeah, it's hot out here, God. But we're getting our steps in, and that's really crucial for the health. Had some time with family, and more time with family coming up over the summer. It's not really summer break anymore for us as adults. We don't do that.
No, I mean, no. So
I guess you could take a break, but
we've got new top 100.
We do.
It's hot. It's live. I mean, it's not that hot, and I apologize for that. We do have a day of games and stuff, but I don't know. Feels pretty good still. So, what is the name this week, Eric?
I said before we were going to give you our best, and this is not my best, but I'm just going with Broken Bat King Cole.
Oh, Broken Bat King Cole is pretty good.
It's like a Nat King Cole thing.
This is why the King Cole exists as it is.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I went with. It was Garrett Cole.
Love it.
And our theme for today, a lot of people are this chatter, Nick, that it's the summer of Glenn Powell. And I don't know if you know this. Glenn Powell is just in The Hitman on Netflix, in Twisters, which is the laziest name for a sequel ever.
Did they add a Z or is it just an S?
No, it was an S, thank God.
You know the whole story of James Cameron, right?
Just as a person?
No. Yeah, right. Two first names, don't trust him. But he apparently went into the producers, like, all right, James Cameron, what's your next film? I know you just had this big, amazing thing called Alien, and what are you going to do? And he goes up to the whiteboard, he writes the word Alien, and they go like, and then he just puts an S. Right? So that's what Twisters is, yeah.
But that was, Aliens is a good movie, too. Yeah, and apparently Twisters is solid. But there's a lot of chatter about Twisters bringing back the blockbuster. And so our theme for today is blockbuster movies.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Not The Store, which was also tremendous. But yeah. I just think we're going to talk about blockbuster movies because we don't go to the movies as much anymore. We want to celebrate what it was to be the blockbuster.
I love that. Was there a scene with more than one Twister inside of it?
I hope so. I haven't had a chance.
Really, I'd be really disappointed, honestly.
Yeah, I need to see multiple Twisters.
Right.
Gotta have them. Gotta have
it's them. It's like, wait, there's one. Okay, we double. There's a second one. That's gotta be the movie.
I think
I literally know nothing about it.
I think that's the script. I think that's probably the script.
It took me a moment to remember who Glenn Powell was.
Yeah.
I was like, who's that guy? Oh, the guy who's like in Maverick and like
he was in someone. Did you see Everybody Wants Some?
No.
Everybody Wants Them. You have to see it. Everybody Wants Them is a Richard Linklater movie about a 1980s college baseball team in Texas.
What?
And it's a little bit like, if Dazed and Confused was just like the vibe of Dazed and Confused, but if it was just about a college baseball team.
Oh my God, why haven't I seen this? Why haven't I?
Yeah, tremendous. You got to see it. Glenn Powell, that was kind of his like breakout ish role.
When was that?
Yeah, you got to check it out. It may have been 5 years ago.
Okay.
6 years ago, something like that, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I saw Maverick on a plane. I know, right? They intended it. It's got to be, the big screen. I'm like, yes, this little.
We are going so off the rails here, but we went to go see a screening of Top Gun Maverick when my wife was like, due at any minute. And when this movie opens with the planes taking off on the carrier ship and the song going, and my son, who is obviously in my wife's stomach at this point, just was kicking like crazy. And I was like, this kid loves Top Gun Maverick. He's here for it.
Oh, it's a danger zone.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna
jump in.
What's tier one?
We got blockbusters. Tier one starts with starting pitcher number one, Zach Wheeler. Number two, Tyler Glasnow. Number three, Tarek Skubal. Number four, Chris Sale. Number five, Paul Skeens. Number six, Garrett Crochet. Number seven, Corbin Burns. Number eight, Cole Reagans. Number nine, George Kirby. Number 10, cover boy himself, Garrett Cole. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This, oh man, it's so, there's so many blockbusters. There's so many of them. Okay, I'm going to say this is Avengers Endgame, because this is your endgame for your fantasy teams.
Mm.
To get these guys. Okay. Everybody's going to show up for them. Everybody's going to be like, yeah, they're going to show up for you. You know, all of the superheroes are here. This is Avengers Endgame.
Beautiful. Not a whole ton of movement here. There's a little bit of shifting with like George Kirby up. Is there any of these guys you feel like you want to address?
Nah.
Okay. Moving on. Moving on. It's here number two. Starts at number 11, Aaron Noah. Number 12, Grayson Rodriguez. Number 13, Jack Flaherty. Number 14, Luis Castillo. Number 15, Shota Imanaga. Number 16, Joe Ryan. Number 17, Logan Gilbert. Number 18, Sonny Gray. Number 19, Justin Steele. And number 20, Tanner Houck. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This one is the Matrix, because this was this is the tier where they're dodging bullets, so they're holding on to the Aces Gonna Ace label, and they want to become the one.
I like that. Yeah. Grayson up six spots here.
Yeah, his stuff is just so good. And he's also doing better with his secondaries. He's not quite getting the Blake Snell blueprint, but I do believe a little bit more in Grayson just overpowering with what he does. And I also just kind of looked at the other guys in tier two, where Castillo is not doing as well with his slider being slower. And Imanaga, we still have some questions about the fastball vert going down, and Joe Ryan's not really being his best self, and so on and so forth. And I was like, well, Grayson Rodriguez actually could be better as opposed to being at the best, right? Like, he's doing well and there's more to reach. Jack Flaherty also got his Aces Gonna Ace label. Actually, I didn't select it and I should have. We'll go back and fix that table now, where it says ace potential, but should be Aces Gonna Ace. And actually, Tanner Houck, after I put this out at 20, has dropped off. He's no longer an Aces Gonna Ace. He's going to be in, I believe, tier four.
Don't write that yet, because he's got to start this weekend.
Well, that is true. If he does super, super, super well against the Yankees, I'd be very, very surprised, though, if he just completely does it. But hey, he could.
That Coors, I thought that maybe because of his pitch mix, like, he might be fine in Coors because of, you know, splitter heavy and whatever, but it, you know, it's not a great
It's a long time coming, honestly. It's the last six starts have all been kind of not it.
Yes, regression was coming.
Yeah.
Grayson Rodriguez always, to me, seems like he gives up more contact than he should, given his raw stuff. But I think there's no denying the.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Sure. I think his four seamer allows it, but I think it's because he doesn't get his secondary stuff down. So the eye level, it doesn't change enough. And they can sit the four seamer and then adjust to slower as opposed to adjusting down and slower, which would get them. So when that continues to improve, which it has already this year, we're going to see a different level of Grayson Rodriguez.
Book it, people. We'll move to tier number three, which is full of green people on their way up. So surely this will be named Green Lantern. But it starts with number 21.
No, that's a failed plot.
And now he is still one of the most successful actors of Hollywood. With number 21, Michael King. Number 22, Seth Lugo. Number 23, Taj Bradley. Number 24, Dylan Cease. And number 25, Pablo Lopez. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This one is Toy Story. Because we think it's great. The first one. We think it's great. And it's a landmark. But the future ones are really where they become the aces and the legends.
Hmm. You know, I don't know that I saw the most recent one. Not going to lie. Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4?
I don't think I did. I just don't remember it.
They're all great, man.
They are great. Just like all of these pitchers. Taj Bradley, we talked about last week. I mean, he's up seven spots again. He kind of just continues to do, you know, what we have been hoping that he would do. I mean, he has stuck to a plan.
Yeah. I mean, the four seamers and splitters are doing the thing. And, it's kind of hard to deny Taj Bradley at this point. Right. I do feel strange trusting in his approach, just because it's just hurling it a lot towards the plate, but at least it's working. The strike rates are up this year on both the four seamer and the splitter. And it's hard to deny the results of it. So he's here, but I can't quite give him aces against label yet until I feel like, no, you are able to do this consistently. And it's still a little weird at the moment.
Yeah. Four good starts in the last five games for Pablo Lopez.
Better.
You know, the one before was against the White Sox. This was a better offense in the Brewers. Yep. I know, you know, using the phenomenal pitcherless strike zone plot, which you can see on the player pages, you can see that the changeup location for Pablo Lopez is still not perfect.
Exactly. There you go. You got it.
But, you know, I mean, that's what we've been saying it, I think, for months now. Like, that's the pitch you're watching.
Right.
And it's better. Better. It's not great.
The other one was a sweeper that really was abandoning him the first 2 months. And he actually told me that he started just kind of rip it as hard as he could, as opposed to kind of overdo it. Mm-hmm. And it started to really work for him. So the last couple of starts, we've seen better sweepers from Pablo Lopez, been much better. There's still room for improvement with the changeup, but the sweeper and the four seamer are already really good. It's a really high swing strike rate on that four seamer, by the way. I don't think people realize it's like a 16%. Mm-hmm. So he's still really good. And that extra element of his changeup is the last bit that could unleash in the second half to make him a top 10 guy again.
When did he tell you that he was going to rip the slider?
Well, when he started to, it was after the bad one of five earned runs. And then the one, so his last two starts, he's been ripping the slider much better. Yeah.
So I'm curious for you as a pitcher, right? When I think of somebody ripping the sweeper a little bit more, I think you're probably going to get a little more velocity, right? Just the nature of not trying to worry so much about movement, but just throwing the pitch a little bit harder.
It might be that. It might also be just kind of focus more on break as opposed to than necessarily velocity.
Because that was going to be my follow-up, because he's not, like, he didn't get more velocity in the White Sox start. He did get more velocity on it in this last start against the Brewers, but maybe if you're suggesting ripping it might not mean just like
ripping it is more of a mentality than it is necessarily throwing it harder. It's about leaning into the seams more, leaning into just kind of extension on it, and kind of going through it fully and in full conviction, as opposed to trying to delicately do it. That's all.
So it might be like ripping down on the seams versus like letting it rip kind of version. Nice. Yep. Well, hopefully that continues for him. Obviously, you know, a lot of people who have been suggesting you hold tight on Pablo Lopez have been taking a lot of slack on Twitter and other social media apps.
Oh, so I've known who to mute by now. I'm good.
It'd be good to see him keep this going. Tier number four has some guys dropping, but not really for negative performances. But it starts with number 26, Bailey Ober, number 27, Ronel Blanco, number 28, Nathan Eovaldi, and number 29, Cutter Crawford. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This one is Ghostbusters, because it's just a timeless, like, it's there for you, man. And you know, it makes you feel it makes you feel puffy, you know, it makes you feel like a marshmallow inside. It's sweet. It's good. And really, honestly, that was like the character was like, he's always there for me.
Yeah.
Stay puff marshmallow, man.
I saw the new one on my flight last week.
Yeah,
because nothing I thought I downloaded, so I had to watch something just like on the Southwest airplane, and it was the Frozen Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? These are just super enjoyable. Like, they could make eight more of these movies, and I'd probably just watch them, because it is a fine movie, but it's just kind of like
it's a little bit
of brainless entertainment. They bring back, you know, I mean, Dan Aykroyd is in it. Like, you know, they got a little. Well, I mean,
no, it's spoilers, like, Eric. I'm just kidding.
It's not a spoiler, but they mix the old and the new in a way that is like, it just kind of keeps, it hits the nostalgia, but it is solid overall.
I need to see the first one again. It's been a long time. That is such a funny movie.
Yeah. True story about me. I grew up on the same street as the Ghostbusters fire station.
Oh, is that right? I remember we would pass by it in the car when I was obsessed with Ghostbusters as a kid.
Yeah.
My first Halloween, when I like went to preschool, my first year of preschool, I had a very small Ghostbusters sweater and I had the, what is it? The Extracto Pack or whatever? No, it's not Extracto, but I don't remember what it's called. It had some like scientific sounding name. I had one of those.
Ecto something.
Ectoplasm.
ectoplasm is what they shoot out. Yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh. An ectopack or whatever. And I even had, I remember watching like the animated show. I had like a, the toy of it, you know?
Yeah.
And my sister actually got me when I was 18 or something like that, a sweatshirt or like a zip up hoodie that was Ghostbusters 2, like the sequel to like that small little sweater. So like that movie, that Ghostbusters, what's up? That's good. I'm glad that it's still hidden in the nostalgia. But yeah, that's what tier four is. It's not, it's always there for you. Like Bailey Ober, even against the Phillies just now. Renell Blanco, the slider's always there. I know it wasn't as good last time, but it's there for you. Nathan Eovaldi, he's good. He's great. Wonderful. Cutter Crawford, I know you left four home runs, five home runs. I apologize. The Dodgers. It happens, buddy. You're still going to be really good and solid. That's tier four.
I love it. I love all these guys. And, you know, Eovaldi, interesting name to keep an eye on in the coming weeks. See where he ends up. If he stays with the Rangers, if he goes, there's some rumors he rumbles back on to the Red Sox. We'll see. But yeah, Ronel Blanco still up here in the top 30. Who would have guessed? Not me. Tier number five starts at number 30, Freddy Peralta. Number 31, Luis Gil. Number 32, Blake Snell. Number 33, Hunter Green. Number 34, Zach Gallen. And number 35, Kodai Senga, back in the mix. What's this tier called and why is it called that?
This one is Avatar. The not the M. Night Shyamalan version, the James Cameron version. And that's because, you know, when I first saw this, like with the 3D glasses, I was like, you know, that was a pretty cool experience. I got to say, I was in the theater. It, like, I felt like I was actually a part of that planet and stuff. And then in retrospect, I'm like, oh, this is just Fern Gully. Like this Pocahontas. Is, it's also Pocahontas. Yeah. I mean, it's the same, you know, it's the same story, right? It's, we've heard it 20 million times. And then you realize, I don't know how I feel about this movie. That is tier five. I don't know how I feel about all these pictures. Like, I get that, like, it's, they're loved a ton and we feel like this should be just a legendary thing, but is Blake Snell really back? I mean, then again, I saw him on Sunday night, I was like, or Monday night last night, I think it was, and it was just like, oh boy, that was good. That was good Blake Snell. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I feel like Luis Gil should be there. I feel like Freddy Peralta could, but he's chaotic. You know, Hunter Green, are you really actually being this like 3 ERA, 110 year a whip guy? Is that really you? Zach Allen, we've talked a lot about him. And Kodai Senga, what are you? I don't know.
Disappointing that James Cameron made a single to Avatar and didn't call it Avatars. I feel like he set the precedent with Aliens, you know?
You know, I mean, the whole papyrus thing, I can't believe it. I know that SNL skit. And yeah. I seriously, I see papyrus everywhere and it just drives me up the wall. It's like, let's just take a font and make it a little bit less, right? That's what papyrus is. They do an A and then they cut out parts of it. That's papyrus. Just make a font and worse, like by 10%. It's horrible.
People love it. People use it.
No, they don't. They don't know what they want.
The Blake Snell thing is interesting. I'm writing him up for my article tomorrow, mixing it up. Curveball usage way up in the last three starts versus the starts before. Now, again, like you're talking about three starts since he's come off the IL. Three starts is a small sample size when you're looking at like pitch mix changes. Is it about the opponents? Is it about what's feeling good? But like he has really gone to the curve more than the slider. He commands the pitch a little bit better. I feel like it's been in the zone a little bit more in terms of like where we want to see it. And he's gone to the fastball a little bit more. He's got a little more juice on the fastball in the last few starts. I don't know, man. I mean, we've seen him do this before, right? Where he has a stretch to start the year and you're like, ugh, Blake Snell. And now you're like, oh, you know, we're in that hot streak again. And like, it may last the whole rest of the year. We've seen him do that before.
It's absolutely bonkers. The curveball went 10 whiffs and about 30 and change thrown against the Dodgers on Monday night. And keep in mind that this list was made without knowing about that start. I would probably put Blake Snell above Freddy Peralta, I think, at this point. But, I mean, not really that much of a difference. What was going on, I think, is that the Dodgers were just sitting for that fastball. They were really attacking that pitch. Not a single one whiffed a Dodger pitcher, a batter, a 32 thrown, which is just crazy. So it meant that they were chasing the curveballs as he threw a lot of strikes with those, right? They were just selling out. I wonder how the adjustments made. Also, Seltzer has beautiful slider to Teoscar Hernandez that like down and in, I was like, oh, 1 or 1-0 or something like that. And he just turned the bat in it beautifully, like off the plate and hit a home run on it. I'm like, hey, that's not fair. That's not cool, Teoscar. You don't do that.
He was riding the hot streak from the home run derby.
He was riding the hot streak. But yeah, I mean, I think that's it for tier five. And You know, it's actually funny, Eric. Get this.
You can tell me that after the break.
There it is. You got it. I gave it to him. Let's all say congratulations, Eric. You took Nick's opening that he gave you, and you took it and went for it, and you got the ad break.
Listen, right. I don't want to be rude. I didn't really want to cut you off, but you just were lingering, and so I was just going to do it. Just went for
it. Yeah, well, I was like, you know what? I have a really good one for this tier, and I'll tell you after this break. And then there you were. Yeah. Bam.
Boom.
Incredible.
You can interrupt me if you want during this novel list of people. That's novel length list of pictures.
I thought about splitting it up, and I was like, I have no place where I would split it up.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure to talk about all of these guys. It's number 36, no. Reynaldo Lopez. Number 37, Nick Pivetta. Number 38, Logan Webb. Number 39, Robbie Ray. Number 40, Carlos Rodon. Number 41, Yusei Kikuchi. Number 42, Clayton Kershaw. Number 43, Tanner Bibee. Number 44, Bryce Miller. Number 45, Christopher Sanchez. Number 46, Brian Bayo. Number 47, Brian Woo. Number 48, Jake Irvin. And number 49, Framber Valdez. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This is called Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Mm.
Okay. Because it's not the one that you guys all turn back to. Let's be honest. I don't think I've heard a single person say that their favorite Harry Potter movie or favorite Harry Potter book is Chamber of Secrets. Just not, nobody says it's that one.
Sure.
Right? It's always, you could say maybe there's the first one you read. So, okay, the first one. You could say, oh no, I really like the Sirius Black stuff. I really liked Order of the Phoenix. I started to get really good. All of it. Yeah. Goblet of Fire. Oh my God. Goblet of Fire. Never Chamber of Secrets. But here's the thing. That's a good book too. Okay. That was an important one inside of it. And it was there for you. And it's a crucial part. And that's what tier six is. Tier six are the guys that they could all of a sudden have the second half that just make you get so excited about it. It could be the most magical thing. Haha. But let's be honest, we're not really expecting these guys to be actual aces. There is one in here, that's Robbie Ray. Don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. He's getting the Dodgers on Wednesday night. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what we get. I really don't expect much. As it's still ill, I'm benching him and then going to start for the next one. And that'll be fine. But for the most part, it's like, yeah, you guys are good and you're going to be good, but you're not going to be in my top 15.
Yeah. The Ray thing is interesting because, you know, we talked about this before, but obviously coming back from Tommy John, control is sometimes the last thing that comes back. That has been an issue for Ray in the past. I'm curious to see that. We talked weeks ago about whether we'd see Clayton Kershaw or not. And we are going to see Clayton Kershaw. I don't know what we're going to see. I don't know how many innings we're going to see. But, you know, for the most part, he faded a little bit last year, but for the most part, he was solid last year before getting hurt. There's a very real possibility that you can get a five and dive version of Clayton Kershaw that is usable in most fantasy formats on a Dodgers team. I don't know for sure, but I would not rule out that possibility. He's not a guy I can bet against.
Yeah. We were saying, right, the Scherzer-Verlander thing, right, with Clayton Kershaw, and it's just, you're not going to get like a top 20 guy out of this. Like, you're not going to get a one whip or something. Like, it's just not that. So fine. Have Clayton Kershaw on your team. See how this goes, etc. All I want is for him to be the dopest of dope. You know?
Sure. And would love to see him pitching because he's great. We're getting some strikeouts from Brian Wu. The strikeouts are ticking up. The results are still
hard to do when you have like one in a game.
Yeah. Well, I think we're starting to see there's inconsistency, obviously, but I do believe we're starting to see a little bit of the whole arsenal kind of starting to work together a little bit more. I think so. I mean, listen, that Dodgers start, I didn't think that Dodgers start was that bad. Like that's a good team. And
wait, you think of the Astros start? There wasn't that. Dodgers.
Who did I say?
Oh, Brian Wu.
I said Brian Wu. No, I was looking at Brian Wu, but you have Brian Bayo above him. I meant Brian Bayo the whole time, people.
You probably said Bayo, and I just heard Wu like a dingus, and I'm very much with you. Bayo is putting it together with this stuff. Yes,
yeah,
completely. Okay,
just so we can go everything
up for people. Who was just like, the strikeouts are taking him like from 1-3 and 1-5.
I'll have to, we'll have to listen back and see if I said Wu.
I'm sure
entirely
I'm wrong
possible. No, I think
I'm the idiot.
I think I probably did. I met Brian Baio. Yes, we're starting to see Brian Baio's full arsenal come together. And I know that it hasn't been like he still has not allowed less than three runs, right, in the last three starts. Like five against Oakland is not great.
Fewer than three runs.
Three against the Royals is not great. Three against the Dodgers, a little better. But I think he is. If he's available on your waiver wire, like I'm trying to get him because I think we're starting to see this.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're starting to see this come together a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. The strikeouts are upticking. 21 in the last three starts combined. And that includes a three strikeout game against the Royals. Look, it's the whole ebb and flow of Brian Baio is sinker and changeup was everything last year. We're waiting for the slider to show up. Still kind of waiting for the beginning of the year. Then all of a sudden slider started to actually kind of be there, but then the changeup disappeared. And now we're starting to see the changeup stay there with the slider and the sinker. All three pitches are working together. Exactly what you were saying, which didn't make sense with Brian Wu because he's still like 75% fastballs, you know, or 80%. I'm like, what? I'm sounding like Gray Albright for a second when I was reacting to that. And Baio, I'm very excited about. I talked about it with Spore as well in the Fireside Chat. Like, Baio's kind of that guy, I think, for the second half that I'm really looking forward to. I imagine a lot of people might be upset. Actually, I didn't see any Reddit comments, at least I don't think I did, about Baio at 46 ahead of Brian Wu and Jake Irvin and Framber Valdez. Yeah, I'm seeing it. I'm feeling like this is the time to get in on Baio.
I also think it's interesting, and maybe now I'm thinking maybe I should add him to my article for tomorrow because starting with, I think it was the Marlins start. I'm looking back to the pit. It was starting with the Marlins start, which was actually one of his best starts in this stretch. He gave up one run and struck out 7 6 2/3. He's mixed in the four seamer again. He hasn't just been sinker, changeup, slider. He's been using the four seamer. And now I need to look a little bit more into like specifically how that's being used. It wasn't really against the Dodgers. He threw just two, but in the Royals start, he had thrown 16.
He's using it in two strike counts. 36%.
That was my thought.
37%. Yeah.
Because he wasn't missing a lot of bats. I was thinking that he was going to start using the four seamer to miss bats in two strike counts because the sinker isn't a swing and miss pitch.
Oh man. His put away rate was once. Once in the last four games, he actually got a strikeout on the four seamer.
Yeah. Okay. So, but it is just interesting. So that's it. So not super impactful, though. We always talked about how that can set up other things.
Right.
It's just nice to see a young pitcher.
Can be good. It could also be that, when it comes to the actual results on those, the average on those pitches is very low. Only allowed a hit against the Dodgers in those last four.
Right.
So that's a positive there.
And absolutely. You were talking earlier about changing the eye level, right? Like if you're getting those fastballs in two strike counts up in the zone, they're not getting swings and misses, but then it sets up your ability to throw the slider low or the changeup low or whatever. That can be something useful.
Absolutely.
So it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on going forward. We got some fallers to talk about here. There's some guys who are dropping a little bit here in tier number 7. Starts number 50, Nick Lodolo. Number 51, Mackenzie Gore. Number 52, Kevin Gausman. Number 53, Max Scherzer. Number 54, Hunter Brown. Number 55, Gavin Williams. Number 56, Shane Boz. What's the tier called? Why is it called that?
This is the last Jedi. Because, it fell on its face, guys. Okay. And yet, there are some people out there that are willing to tell you that they are the best. That this is the third best Star Wars thing ever. Third best, okay? Chris Towers, all right? You think it's the third best Star Wars affiliated thing. All right? I had a debate with him. I'm not even joking. The Pitch Bros channel, it's all baseball except for this one, like, two-hour debate with me and Ellen Adair and Chris Towers, like, 3 years ago. It's the funniest, most ridiculous thing we've done on a pitcher list. Yeah, that's tier 7 because these are all cherry bombs and you just so badly want it to be good. You really do. I remember going into that being so excited and I'm glad that some people love it, but it's, man, it burns you. It hurts.
It does hurt, which is sad because I have a few of these pitchers on my roster. I've heard a lot of people talking about how Mackenzie Gore is just a streamer now.
Mm.
Do you feel like that is the case?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's a little worrisome that he's down to 95 miles per hour as opposed to 97.
Mm-hmm.
The secondaries haven't been as consistent as we've wanted them to be as well. It's every other start, kind of. And there are obviously signs that he should be better than this. It's like a 360 plus BABIP that he has, second percentile in the majors. Then again, he also has 12th percentile ICR. That is, he allows a lot of contact that we don't want. Ideal contact for hitters, which is bad. So I think that Gore isn't always executing all the time. I think it gets flustered a little bit. I think these cascading innings that mess him up. Also, the team defense has been really bad for me. And I made that point last week. It's a really good one. And that isn't necessarily going to get better. Maybe it does in the second half for Mackenzie Gore. Mm-hmm. The potential is so clearly there. If the velocity decline is actually real, then that's obviously a problem. He jumped from 95 to 97 this year. That's really been a big shift for him. I don't know what to make of him at the moment. And if you wanted to stream, I get it, because cherry bombs are not really a thing that you want on your teams.
Yeah. I also understand people's hesitancy with Shane Boss, who I have taken to benching on the teams I have him on. I am not ready to move on from him because I still think there is upside there. You know, when I covered, I think 2 weeks ago in my Mixing It Up article, I looked at his debut, and the fastball looks pretty good. The fastball shape looks pretty good. He's keeping it up in the zone well. The curveball is fine. But, you know, you were the first person we talked about this to mention that, like, well, not the first person, I'm sure other people did, but, you know, you mentioned
I'm
lot.
I'm the first,
like,
Eric.
The slider, that slider is, like, not the 2 years ago slider.
No, it's not. RPM has been down about 200, if not more. The slider's on the same bite. And, yeah, without that, like, Eno was complaining about it, like, you are the destroyer of worlds, and, like, yeah, you were, and you're not right now. And yeah. It's kind of hard to believe that Shane Boz is going to be so amazing, especially with the Rays being the Rays and often being you're putting on the kids' gloves as well for these guys. So we already have that ding against them. Mm-hmm. Another one. Yeah, it's not a good sign for Shane Boz.
No, I still want to hold through the trade deadline because I don't know what the Rays are going to do. Are they going to deal guys away? Is he going to stay in the rotation?
Shane Boz.
There's a very real possibility that, like, they don't make a trade and then Springs comes back and Boz moves to the bullpen or AAA and it is what it is. But
yeah,
I think the upside is worth holding on to at least.
Yeah, it's possible. I just have to say, don't think about the ceiling of 2021, guys. Like, I think that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. You could say the same thing about Kevin Gausman and Max Scherzer, who are in this tier. And I know that they are names, and I know that we're used to thinking that, you know, they're in particular Gausman because of where he was drafted this year, right? That we're like, oh, he'll bounce back. And so, yeah, I'm going to take Kevin Gausman because he's a top 15 pitcher. He'll figure it out. He's not figuring it out. The splitter is not located
better.
Well, and the fastball is getting crushed. And when you have I don't want to put injuries onto things that might not be injury related, but we knew he had an injury at the start of the year. And it's entirely possible that the feel for the splitter is because of something not feeling 100% when he's throwing. I don't.
You know. Yeah, absolutely. Gausman without splitter whiffs is just not Gausman, and you shouldn't expect him to be that. I mean, it's that simple. I can't tell you that he's going to get it back. And Max Scherzer said he had arm fatigue, so we don't really know his situation either. And also, I don't think that he was going to be pitching at the peak of 2021. So, yeah, both of those guys, it's really hard to tell what we get moving forward. And, you know, it's kind of hard also to tell what to expect with some guys from tier 8. We're going to go into that after this break. All right, Eric, I got you that time. You're very nice to me. I sped through it. I needed to make sure I got it. Okay. I can't just let you have all.
It's okay. You got to have one. It's fine.
I got to do it. And it's tier 8. Who's in tier 8?
It is tier 8. It's another long list of players, starting with number 57, Zach Eflin. Number 58, Nestor Cortez. Number 59, Chris Bassett. Number 60, Ranger Suarez. Number 61, Gavin Stone. Number 62, Brady Singer. Number 63, Marcus Stroman. Number 64, Tyler Anderson. Number 65, Andrew Heaney. Number 66, Drew Thorpe. Number 67, Brandon Fott. Number 68, Mitch Keller. And number 69, Michael Wacha. What's this tier called, and why is it called that?
There's so many that are just like blockbuster movies that you're just like, yeah, I guess that's a blockbuster movie. you know, they say like the blockbuster hit of the summer, and it's like, okay, I guess, sure. I'm just gonna go with Top Gun Maverick. Okay.
How dare you? That was that movie was incredible.
It's always there.
I watched it again last week.
A second time?
Yeah, it's great.
Wow.
It's on Amazon Prime, free streaming. Check it out, people.
It's fine.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That is how I feel about most of these pitchers. I even, in particular, like, I'm writing about Andrew Heaney for tomorrow because his stats have been really good the last like six starts, and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, nothing is markedly different. There's some better command.
It's the slider from the
better location on the slider.
It's a harder one,
a little bit harder.
And we were talking about less vertical movement, the cost of. I think more or better precision and velocity,
yes.
Added velocity on it.
Yeah. The location is like, that's to me, that's been the key.
Oh yeah. Completely. It's down and glove side consistently now, as opposed to just kind of like around.
Right.
And coming in harder too. It's a sharper slider than it used to be for Heaney.
Yes. Though I will say when I met, it looks similar is that, you're not seeing like a wholesale change, right? It's a little tweak, and sometimes little tweaks are all that it really need. But you're not looking at like Andrew Heaney being like, oh my God, he's changed so much. The slider is more accurate, and is a pitch that he can command, a shape that he can command better, and it's been working really well for him. And maybe he continues to work in Texas or goes somewhere else, or who knows? And maybe the command of the slider, you know, gets a little worse. You know, I don't know. It's the only thing that is really markedly different. So it's the thing to keep watching. And as long as the slider keeps delivering, you can keep him in your lineup. And if the slider starts to waver, then he's back to, you know, stream him, move him around.
Yeah. It's a case where he took down the Orioles. It's like, all right, that's good.
Yeah.
We're happy.
Sure.
That's nice. They now go get the Cardinals next? I feel like you had it.
Though the Orioles did lose to the Marlins today. Wild.
Well, you know what? Albert Suarez, that was weird, and I very much regret that I took him as my stream pick. The Jays are next, and then the Cardinals for Andrew Heaney.
Yeah, I think that's very well for you. Certainly doable. Yeah. Two huge risers in this tier are Drew Thorpe, who's up 25 spots, and Brandon Pfaadt, who's up 21 spots. What are you seeing from these guys that makes you a little more interested?
Pfaadt has been such a... I've wrestled with this. With Brandon Pfaadt, a lot of people are in on it, and I don't quite see it, but it's working. And it's at the point I'm like, all right, fine. Like, I feel like you need to have something else. And yes, the changeup actually did come through in the last start. It hasn't normally. I'm not really a believer that it will. Maybe the sinker being more included with the four seamer is enough. Eno certainly thinks so. And when Eno certainly thinks so, I listen. So I could be overlooking that. But for me, sweeper with four seamer as a focus and with some sinkers just isn't quite enough. So especially when the four seamer isn't like this overpowering one to me. But he's just been consistent on your teams. You guys are going to hold on to it, so fine. With Drew Thorpe, oh man, Drew Thorpe, this was fun. I found like it's such a good feeling when you see someone, you're like, I don't know, man, I need something else, and all of a sudden the guy like does something else that's like super good. And that was Drew Thorpe with a slider that was pinpointed down and away glove side and had like 7 or 9 whiffs or something like that. And I'm like, yes, where was this before? Like, now it's just here. And having a changeup and slider on opposite sides of the plate down is brilliant. That's a brand new guy if he can do that consistently. So pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. We talked about it when he was coming up, right? That the changeup was a great pitch and needed something else to go along with it. And so that slider would be huge for him. I have been a fan of his just after watching him pitch. I was not into the profile, like the pitch mix profile, but I do like the way that his presence on the mound. I like the way he commands his stuff. I thought there was something there. And, you know, I haven't watched this last start, but it's good to see that the slider is improving, because I think that, you know, the team context is not going to be good this year. But, you know, we saw it with Crochet. We saw it at times with Fetty. Like, you can put together solid starts if you are, you know, fantasy stats, if you are still a good starting pitcher. You can help win games, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's anybody else in this tier we need to really dive into unless
it's,
you do.
It's just, I mean, so sad to see Ranger Suarez where he is, but guys, like, that's, we know it's an 8% CSW on his changeup on this last start. It's like, that's not it anymore.
Yeah. I kind of feel like these guys, we know who they are at this point. Like, you know who Chris Bassett is, you know who Stroman is, you know who Mitch Keller is, you know who Michael Wacha is. Like, you know what you're getting from these guys.
Exactly.
A lot more enigmas in tier number 9. Starts with number 70, Hayden Birdsong. Number 71, River Ryan. Number 72, Luis L. Ortiz. Number 73, Spencer Schwellenbach. Number 74, Tobias Myers. Number 75, Andrew Abbott. Number 76, Ryan Nelson. Number 77, Edward Cabrera. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This is Spice World. Okay.
Never saw it.
Of course not. But this is the Spice Girl tier. These are the, I mean, if you guys don't know that label at Pitcher List, that means these are wannabe aces that are young. They're the new hot thing. And you only remember one out of five names much later. So all I know is Victoria Beckham. I don't know their actual names. And that's it. I just know one in five. So that's what a Spice Girl is. We hope that they have all the success. And we're only going to remember like 20% of them.
Yeah. Jerry Halliwell was Ginger Spice. I remember that. And I think that she's...
He just made that up.
No. And I think she's married to... Because she's married to the guy who runs the Red Bull F1 team. So she's on F1 Drive to Survive on Netflix.
Wow, we're up to 40% here.
Yeah. Yeah. obviously, the Hayden Birdsong thing.
What was your take on Hayden Birdsong?
I was never a huge fan. Uh-huh. I texted you, like... In his first start, I was watching his first start, and I think I said to you pretty succinctly, like, there are a lot of non-competitive pitches
here. Yeah, so many.
Like, there's a lot, like, I get the shape and the whatever, like, you can squint and see it, and I don't know that, I'm not going to say he's, like, a finished product, like, he won't be good. You know, he's a young pitcher, he's 22 years old, but I just felt like there was a lot of, like, that pitch isn't even close. Like, it's not, it wasn't just sliders in the dirt. It was like fastballs way all over the place. I just felt like there's more polishing to do. I understand people were upset that he was sent down and Jordan Hicks was kept in the rotation, that like people are starting to think Hicks should be back in the bullpen.
Well, I mean, Hayden Birdsong was sent down because he's going to be up for the doubleheader. He's going to be back for the doubleheader later this week. So they get into free ad for that. It's going to be Hayden Birdsong, and they can just make it all easy, and then they can make their decision.
I guess they can make the decision
10 days or something like that, as opposed to now.
Yeah, because the spot and the rotation
and stuff too. It makes it all the sense so that he's, you know,
sure,
they can make all the easy decisions.
I guess I was looking at the five now with Robbie Ray back and him being
right
out of
and
five,
right. It could be that Birdsong is out, but it's also. There could be a deal. There could be something that happens and they don't have to make a decision now because of the double ladder.
Yeah. We should be making our decisions on throwing our love and respect behind Luis L. Ortiz.
Well, okay. Hold on. My take on Birdsong. Okay. I asked for yours. Okay.
Yes, that's true. What song are you singing here with
Birdsong? That was so weird. I rambled about it on the Plus Pitch podcast Monday morning. But that was so weird, okay? The Hayden Birdsong start against the Rockies. I've never been so negative on a guy getting 27 whiffs and 45% CSW in a game. I watched all of it. He had such a bad strike rate on his four-seamer. He got like 10 strikes on nearly 30 thrown of them or something like that. Like, it was absurd. But then he just threw so many curveballs and sliders over the plate. He combined for 22 whiffs on those two pitches. 12 on his curve after getting 5 in his first 4 starts combined. With that hook, like I was so weirded out. There's so many pitches I felt like the Rockies just like, what are you doing? Why is that a ground out to second base? That was like the most meaty slider. Oh, good, thank you, Brandon Rogers, for hitting that out. You did that. That's right. That was a really bad slider, and you did the thing. It was strange, and it looked very much like a DJ Hurst start of all of a sudden out of nowhere going double digit. Strikeouts and then just the next start going 5 and 4 in runs or whatever. So I know it's a much better situation against the same bad offense, Rocky Road in Oracle Park next time for Birdsong in that doubleheader. I'm still like, I don't know. This is a very inconsistent, volatile guy. with sure the ceiling if the slider and the curveball are always there and not, I don't know, getting punished when they have these mistakes because he doesn't really quite know where they're going. Curveball more so than the slider actually yesterday or on Sunday night. So I don't know. Birdsong's weird. Your boy Luis Ortiz, I know. It's making it work. He's just getting little strikeouts, man. It's just kind of weird. And I'm a little weird by that.
Yes. The I mean, you know, that's, I guess, a little bit of the nature of like adding in the cutter and moving away from being as four seam heavy is the strikeouts are way down, but the command is better and the, you know, the contact is less significant against him, getting way more strikes.
Yeah.
And I my love and affection for him is more just because I like the story behind a guy who was like a top prospect and is a total afterthought.
100%.
Getting it back together. I don't believe you're getting some like major breakout here, but I do think what you're seeing is legitimate in the sense of like he is a legitimately changed pitcher.
Yeah.
This isn't a total flash in the pan. This is a guy who has worked his pitch mix to make himself a more consistent major league pitcher.
Right.
And I don't know that there's another level, but this is a solid level.
Right. And I would also say that inside of this tier of tier nine, like Birdsong's here, Luis Ortiz is here, Schwellenbach is here, Myers is here, Abbott, Ryan Nelson, Edward Cabrera, like this all does feel like, hey, this could be working. Tobias Myers, like, okay, it's a nice little run. Schwellenbach is getting whiffs and just stopped throwing the four seamer as much, and that could actually really work for him, right? Andrew Abbott is a completely just like shrug, like I can't tell you guys what's going on. I don't know. He's so weird.
He was Nelson's weird last year too.
Ryan Nelson's four seamer is having a lot of success. It does have really good shape. It just doesn't have anything else with it. It's not really like the most overpowering. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Eric Cabrera, you guys know. We don't know. However, there is one guy, and that's River Ryan. And I ranked this before his debut. I put this out on Monday, and Monday night is when River Ryan debuted. I love what I saw. However, I like Bobby Miller and Walker Buehler. Did not like his approach.
Yeah,
I felt it was the same idea of cool. I have absurd stuff and I've learned all the things of this is what a cutter looks like. This is what a slider looks like. Here's a curveball. Here's a four seamer, et cetera. Here's a sinker, et cetera, again. And I don't know what to do with them. and I'm a little weirded out by that. But man, his raw ability is so far beyond everyone else in this tier to me.
Yeah, and I think obviously the news that they were moving on from James Paxton allowed a little bit more.
Unbelievable. I was reacting live on playback. It was like, I even wrote this, but the Dodgers added him being like, you're going to get hurt, so we'll be fine with this. Everyone else gets hurt. They see that Paxton's still healthy. We're like, they're like, dude, you're supposed to be hurt. You're not supposed to still be here. We have to DFA you. You should have gotten hurt.
It's such an interesting choice to have DFA'd him versus just like send down Justin Robleski, who is fine.
The thing is, they have so many guys. They're going to be, I'll put it this way. It makes sense
moving guys around
so because, I mean, DFA'ing him, someone else is going to pick him up. They're still going to get something for it. They're going to organize
some sort of deal. Yeah, some sort of
deal. And they're going to have to make a lot of moves anyway. They're going to have to likely push down Robleski anyway. And like, when you look at it with River Ryan and Knack and Glasnow and Kershaw already, that's four. I'm sure there's still in five.
And then potential returns of Buehler and Bobby Miller.
And then there's also trade stuff that's going to happen. They're going to add to it. They pretty much saw Paxton and were like, well, you're not going to pitch for a week now. And you know what? We're just going to DFA you instead of pushing down something else where we could get a start out of them.
Right.
We're just going to do this one now.
And that comes to a little bit of my concern with River Ryan is just the fluidity of the Dodgers rotation. And like, he should have spots, but depends what they do at the deadline.
Yeah.
Right. There's the rumors that they're like trying to get the Crochet Luis Robert, like, you know, two part deal. Do they add a big starter like that? You know, what are they doing with Buehler and Bobby Miller? Like,
well, neither one of them has the thing is, I would imagine that well enough, Buehler could be dealt. What happens here is that you see this rotation from the Dodgers. We've seen it before with like Josiah Gray. They deal them away. Right. And some speculations they want to get River Ryan to showcase him. I would probably say that Landon Knack is the first one. Robleski is also going out. I see River Ryan. I'm like, That is a future player. That is, they're just like, all right, you got bullets now. Let's just get you developed here. You're good enough to survive here. Let's just do this here. And if they weren't serious about River Ryan, they would have not DFA'd Paxton, honestly. They would have just like left River Ryan down. So it's either that or they're showcasing him to say like, hey, look, he's major league ready. What team wants him? You know, we want Crochet. We want something else. We want whatever. Maybe they're just showing him at the big league level and proving that he is already in this state so that they can trade him too. I don't know. At the very least, I don't think that River Ryan goes away at this point. I think that'd be a really odd move to force a DFA of Paxton just so that they can have River Ryan for like one start.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that has quelled some of my distrust in the Dodgers.
You know me.
I continue to distrust them, but maybe a little bit less so.
Yeah, they call me Mr. Quella. So, you know.
That's a terrible name. They should think of something better.
Mr. Quella, please. Mr. Quella.
Tier number 10 starts with number 78, Matt Waldron. Number 79, Jose Soriano. Number 80, Kyle Gibson. Number 81, Eric Fetty. Number 82, Sean Manaea. Number 83, Jameson Taillon. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This is called Era Tour.
Okay. I'd like
because
to
because you're like, oh, do I have to?
You don't. You don't have to.
Yeah, you don't. These are Tobys, and like, guys, don't get hold on to them. Really don't.
Yeah. And that includes Matt Waldron, who this is a perfect example of like, some guys are going to give you a really hot stretch where they seem totally undroppable, and you have to acknowledge that they might be for that stretch, and then you need to move on. And we kind of were saying that about Waldron while he was heating up, was like, the nature of knuckleballers and an arsenal around it that is not elite, like he's going to have a rough patch. And he did.
Yep. There it is.
And Fetty could be interesting if he's dealt. You know, curious to see where he goes. That is one thing that was being discussed. I could see him as, you know, he's not going to emerge as like a must-have fantasy pitcher, but in a much better team context, he could be like a really solid streamer.
Fetty is like the mold of a playoff guy that's just like out of nowhere. He goes like six innings, one in a row, and the team needs him. You know, and there's something to be said about those control guys in playoff environments instead of the big volatile ones. I don't know. I get a feeling that teams understand that. Where, look, when playoff time arrives, sometimes like the Jesus Lizardos aren't really what you want. You want like the Charlie Mortons, the Eric Fettys, the Jose Urquidy's that like just find a way. Five innings, one in a run. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah. Jose Urquidy, who was the, why am I blanking on the dude on the Royals? When they made their World Series run.
You're thinking of like Chris Medlin? No, was he on that team then? Or
I thought it was Edwin.
Yordano Ventura, but.
Yordano Ventura was interesting too. No, I'll figure it out as I get you talking about some of these next pitchers.
Not Edwin Jackson, of course.
Who started? I do love Edwin Jackson. Who start tier number 84? It is our streamer tier. It is a doozy.
Chris Young.
No, but Chris Young is a good answer, though. Tier number 84, Spencer Arrighetti. Tier number 84, tier number 11 starts number 84, Spencer Arrighetti. Number 85, Landon Knack. Number 86, Michael Lorenzen. Number 87, Albert Suarez. Number 88, Griffin Canning. 89, Jose Berrios. 90, Ben Lively. 91, Aaron Civale. 92, Mitchell Parker. 93, Randy Vasquez. 94, Charlie Morton. 95, John Gray. 96, Luis Severino. 97, David Peterson. 98, Zach Littell, 99, Carson Fulmer, and 100, a guy who I streamed on Monday and feel terrible about it, Yelber Diaz. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This one is Minions, because it's like that movie that is just like a blockbuster and like everyone knows about at the time, and it's just for a moment, guys. It's gonna be a big, big thing, but these are your Minions for just right now. That's it.
I mean, listen, Despicable Me like 4 is out right now.
I know. I mean, I could have gotten with like Furious 7. Just like churn them out all the time, you know? Same kind of idea. But yeah, this is, you're not really going to think about this later on.
Yeah, I get that. John Gray, pretty solid today. David Peterson, like, he misses bats, man. Like, there's something in there that, like, is mildly intriguing to me, but not enough so.
No.
And, yeah, Suarez, I don't think is long for the Orioles rotation.
No, this is probably the last nail in the coffin. I don't know. I mean, Landon Neck is kind of interesting. He is stretched out now, as we were just talking about him, but I'm not really too into this. I mean, Randy Vasquez did well again tonight.
That's what I was gonna say. But did he? So, like, he did well.
One strike. How am I supposed to buy my bread with this?
But yeah. he had two whiffs all game. That was it. And I look at the stats, and I'm like, okay, so in five of his last six starts, he has allowed two runs or fewer. That's great. Like, there's no knocking that. But, like, every time I look at a box score, and then every time I look at a strike zone plot, or I look at StatCast, and I look at, like, how many actual whiffs he's getting, it's like, I don't feel confident. Well, first of all, he's facing the Orioles this weekend, so you're not pitching him then anyway. But, like, I just don't get it. Like, there's nothing. He's giving up too much contact. There's nothing about the Arsenal.
40% ICR in that time too.
Yeah, like I feel like this is like don't go chasing waterfalls. Like, this isn't a thing. I just don't buy it.
Stick to the streamers that you're used to. Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't. I can't do it.
I mean, I can't either. And don't get me wrong. I'm very much with you, but it's sometimes it's just like, all right, this is just he's just executing the stuff, and it's working enough.
You know? I mean, the good thing is, like, you're not going to get people aren't going to get sucked in because only a crazy person is going to stream him against the Orioles this weekend.
I guess so.
And so
yeah, you're not wrong. It's a 2.21 ERA entering today, but 1.28 WHIP because he still allows the hits, of course.
Right.
It's keep coming like it's the 1990s radio stations.
Boom, but, boom, boom. Love Sirius. Yeah. 90s on 9. Sirius.
Boom, boom, boom. I want you in my room.
Speaking of 90s, even though it wasn't the 90s, it was 2015 when the Royals made the World Series. But the pitcher I was thinking of was Edinson Volquez.
Oh, Edinson Volquez. Yeah, there you go. Oh, man, I forgot about him.
So, yes, Edwin Wrong. Well, it was the wrong name, but I was generally in the right letters. Edinson
Volquez. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, despite being called Edison, he was not electric.
He's the boom. Boom. Just crushing the dad jokes tonight. You've got 11 p.m. Nick Pollock on here with the
what up? Oh my god, hilarious. Nick has arrived.
But yeah, I think on that dad joke, that may be the cream of the crop to go out on over here.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. We're gonna do it again next week. I'm gonna be in Texas. Doesn't matter, we're still gonna do it.
We are. I am gonna be at the beach. We're still gonna do it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's beach time. Beach season. Couple weeks of beach season.
Trade deadline next week. What is your big blockbuster trade? Hit me. What is the one that you expect to happen?
Can we go with what I want to happen?
Yes. Yes.
I would like to see the Orioles trade multiple prospects, and we can decide who for both Luis Robert and Garrett Crochet.
I'm here for that completely. I want them to submit them, and then they show up and they're like, are you sure? He looks like that guy. I don't know which one.
Which guy
is he to say what to, like, send to, like, another prospect that looks exactly like the other one?
Yeah.
But I think it
makes sense. I think you could send, you know, if Robert is in center field, I think, you know, you could maybe they just move Mullins or Hayes or whatever to the left. You could send Kowser, you could send Kjerstad, you know, you send Connor Norby. You know, maybe you send Armbruster or Chase McDermott or something like that. Like, you can, you know, send a whole bunch of those guys. And I think it can work. And I'd like to see, it would also make the White Sox a little more fun. Like, the White Sox with Heston Kjerstad and Connor Norby in their lineup become infinitely more fun.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I mean, I want the Yankees to get Robert.
I don't want them to get anybody.
Nobody. No, I want the nothing Tigers like it. To deal away both Flaherty and Scooble.
I want them to keep Scooble. I don't think there's a reason to deal Scooble right now.
I think there is. I think, like, I mean, if the trade market right now for a guy like Scooble is through the roof.
Maybe. On the Roto World Baseball show, which we're recording on Wednesday, and you can check that out in addition to all of your great pitcher list content. But Scott Pianowski said that his dream trade was to see Scooble traded to the Orioles for a deal that involved Jackson Holliday.
I mean, yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting because if there's one team that doesn't necessarily need a Jackson Holiday, it's a team that could start an infield for a decade with Kobe Mayo, Gunnar Henderson, and Jordan Westberg, and you're pretty good there. And maybe good. You get Skubal for a while. So
and the trade I really want to see that the Angels for some reason are saying they're not going to do is Tyler Anderson.
Yeah, just get him out of there.
Just Tyler Anderson to
anybody.
I don't care. The Astros.
Yeah.
Just get him to the Astros, you know? Oh, no, actually, I take that back, guys. There is one deal that I really, really want to see. This is very specific. I want to see Bailey Falter to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, yeah. You've been talking about that for a while.
It won't happen because I think Bailey Falter is hurt now. But that's more of the reason why the Rays would do it. That would just be so funny. I've been shouting that one, which is such a random deal, but it's just because he's an extension guy, and I feel like it's the perfect kind of guy that the Rays would be like, no, but he throws 90, but like we like him. That would be it. But anyway, that is it. Yeah, what do you got?
For fandom, I'd like to see Jameson Taillon to the Red Sox. I think he's a perfect end of rotation starter on that team.
Yeah, but I just like Jameson too much. Don't put him in Fenway. No.
But then maybe you could talk to him more often because he'd be closer.
Yeah, but I mean, just deal him to the Mets then.
Okay, we can do that too.
He also, I mean, he was saying how much he loves pitching at Citi Field, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. That'd be interesting. Good to know.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's it.
You got a lot of content coming out. I've got my Mixing It Up column on NBC Sports coming out Wednesday morning, so make sure you guys check that out. It'll have a couple of the pitchers we were talking about here, plus a good hot stretch for JP Sears, who's no longer in the top 100, but maybe one day we'll work himself
maybe
back into
that. My God, that's, we've been saying that for a while. I mean, yeah, he's been in and out of the, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I'm Eric Smolski, the Pelican.
I'm Nick Pollock, the Lion.
And I'm going to go fire up Twisters to end the night.